Next up on Downtown, it is the Patriots season opener coming up on Sunday as they take on the Miami Dolphins. And to give us a little preview of not just the opening game, but the season ahead, we're joined by our friend Michael Hurley of WBZ, CBS Boston, catching him right before he gets his haircut. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. I hope we see before and after pictures of this haircut.
Yeah, well, so I shaved my head in June for a big, you know, charity thing. It was great. But I'm learning as I get older, apparently it grows back very slowly. So it's been a long climb to get back here. So I'm very excited.
See, that's what I'm afraid of at this point in life, that if I shave it off, I have no problem with that, but I'm afraid it's not coming back.
Yeah, I shaved my head when I was, you know, in college and younger, and I don't even remember. It felt like it grew back the next day. So this has been a long summer in the hair department. So big day for me.
All right, well, we'll talk about this before you go to get everything shorn. And let's start about talk about the start of what they may eventually call the Cam Newton era, and you wrote about it on CBS Boston. This is, of course, important on the field, but just in the history of the team, this is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's something that came up 4 years ago when Jacoby Brissett started a game and became the first black quarterback in Patriots history to start a game, and now you have the first black quarterback in week one as the starter, which, you know, is something, and it's a great thing, I think. Now you look around the league, and it's not even, you know, a unique situation. There's, I don't know, seven or eight starters when you go to Arizona, to Houston, to Kansas City, all around the league. It's just become a common thing, which Devin McCourty and Cam Newton talked about yesterday. You know, they didn't have that growing up. Devin McCourty said when you were a kid and you played Pop Warner, they would you know, say you got to be a running back or a receiver or something. So I think it's been a lot of progress in not a very long time. You know, in the past 20 years, it's all kind of come to that. So the Patriots are, I mean, they've had a quarterback the Patriots have had over that past 20 years, you've probably heard of, that they had a pretty consistent starter there. But now the Patriots, you know, are on that movement.
On the field, what he does is so unique, and it brings a different dimension to this team. How do you think it changes up their offensive approach this year?
Well, their offensive approach last year was just sort of snap the ball and see what happens. It felt like there was no feel, and that was, you know, they were coming off of losing Trent Brown, David Andrews, Rob Gronkowski, Dwayne Allen, James Devlin. So the running game was shot. The receivers weren't great. Like, everything was just off last year, and they never kind of shook it. They just kind of rode it out to the end like a slow, painful death. So I think at the very least, while the personnel still may have some gaps, and you can point things out, I think still just the rejuvenation of Josh McDaniels to draw things up and get creative, I think that was missing sorely last year. So whether that means involving a couple of rookie tight ends that you normally wouldn't be throwing right into action, whether it means utilizing, you know, two or three running backs on the field at the same time, I think you're going to see a lot more creativity out of Josh McDaniels. And Cam Newton, I think for anywhere where he might not be fully, you know, comfortable or knowing everything about the system, I think he can make up for it with his athleticism, because he is one of the largest, biggest, strongest quarterbacks that's ever lived. So at the very least, it should be more fun to watch than last year's offense.
And based on what we saw from him in his past life, I have to think this could be a real big year for James White.
Absolutely. I mean, if you have a quarterback learning a system, and this would have been true even if it was Jarrett Stidham at quarterback, having a guy who can just release out of the backfield and get you 15 yards after the catch is going to be a quarterback's best friend. So I think in that case, where if things go haywire up the field and Cam Newton knows he has James White to his side in the flat somewhere, it's going to be a win for him. One thing I will note, though, is that last year we saw more and more and more, and this had to do with the lack of receiving talent, more and more they put defensive backs on James White, which made him a lot less effective. When you have him going against a linebacker, it's not a fair fight at all. So teams kind of wisened up to that. Without Rob Gronkowski, without, you know, any elite talent on the outside, they were able to really hone in on James White. So it's going to be up to McDaniels to try to, you know, chess match some better matchups for James White.
Well, with that in mind, we know what Julian Edelman can do. How important is N'Keal Harry to the offensive success of the team?
Overall, I mean, like, realistically, they could probably get by if someone else produces and steps up. But I just think in terms of just the draft capital invested in N'Keal Harry, if you're the Patriots, if you're Bill Belichick, if you're Josh McDaniels, you kind of need him to become a first-round draft pick type receiver. And that doesn't mean he's got to become a Hall of Famer, but he's got to become someone who can, you know, have 1,000 yards, who can catch 70 to 90 balls and get in the end zone 6 or 7 times. Last year was not the first step you wanted that. A lot of that had to do with injury and starting slow and everything. But, yeah, you need him if you're the Patriots to develop into that guy, especially because, A, there were some receivers that went after him last year who ended up having pretty good years, and B, this was a pretty deep receiving draft by all accounts, that the Patriots didn't take any of them. So he is the prototype that is out there, the big body, the everything that you would think the top receiver should look like, he looks like. It's just a matter of actually, you know, putting it together on Sundays.
Who's the one guy on the offense that could surprise people this season?
Oh, let's see. I mean, I don't want to pump up the Gunnar Olszewski hype too much, but I mean, it was a huge year for him, like night and day from rookie year to his second year. Last year, he was, you know, a rookie defensive back signed out of Bemidji State who was converting the wide receiver that Belichick wanted to return punts. This year, I think it should be a little bit more of an offensive role, not like a top receiver or anything, but a guy who can maybe help move the chains and keep things going along. I think he's someone that I've got an eye on. And then, it's so hard to say when it comes to the receivers, but Damir Bird is someone who might, you know, be that guy who can just sort of stretch the defense a little bit, and sort of what I was talking about earlier, we're opening James White with some better matchups. Maybe Damir Bird is that guy. Not to put up, you know, 100 yards every week, but to come through with maybe that 40, 50, 60-yard bomb that helps, you know, a punt drive turn into a scoring drive.
We're talking with Michael Hurley of CBS Boston, WBZ, here on Downtown. We know a lot of guys gone from the defense, a lot of holes to fill, as you point out in your piece at CBS Boston. Still an elite core of defensive backs. Is the linebacker group the biggest question mark going in?
Yeah, it's such a hard thing. I mean, they've played without Dante Hightower before with injuries and whatnot, and it's, you can sort of piece it together in the short term, but for a whole season, I mean, they're basically looking at Juwan Bentley to become Dante Hightower, which in year three for a guy that basically missed almost all of his rookie year is a big ask, and it's no knock on Juwan Bentley to say that it's unlikely that he can fill the roles of Dante Hightower, because Dante Hightower is a, you know, an elite linebacker in the NFL, and he's been doing it for, what, 8 years now. So that's a huge gap. I think, you know, if there's anyone that can piece together a front seven, it would be Belichick, but there's no denying that the loss of – you lose the – just think of the athleticism of Jamie Collins being gone. And the thing with me, the hardest thing to replace is probably Kyle Van Noy, because he's a guy, thank God, and he ended up becoming just a do-it-all linebacker. He could rush the passer, he could drop into coverage, he could set the edge when needed. That wasn't his job, but he could play against the run. And it took him probably 2 years to really firm up that role. When they acquired him in 2016, it took him a couple years to grow into that role. And now you're basically asking, I don't know, Chase Winovich or someone to step into that role to kind of do it all. It's really hard to figure out. So on the plus side, they do have that elite defensive backcourt with the McCourties, with Stephon Gilmore. I think you're going to see a lot of maybe Juwan Jackson. I'm Juwan Williams, excuse me, with my Juwans and my Jowans. And then, you know, we'll see what Kyle Duggar does in there. But, yeah, I think you're going to see safeties playing as linebackers, and it's going to be a very different-looking defense from the one that led the league in everything a year ago.
All right, so who's that guy on defense that you think might exceed expectations?
I mean, I guess J.C. Jackson probably is already has high expectations, so I guess I wouldn't count him. I would say, you know, maybe we do see a lot more of Jowan Williams in a role. And I thought it was interesting this week when you heard Aqib Talib say that, you know, Bill Belichick reached out to have him just cover tight ends this year. You have one job, cover tight ends, and Talib was interested in it. He's like, no, I can't do that. I wonder who that role that falls upon, whether that's, you know, I think Williams is the best comparison because he's tall and strong, and that might suit him to finally have a role in this defense. You know, maybe the rookie Kyle Duggar gets a chance at it. Maybe the veteran, mostly special teams player, but Adrian Phillips might get a chance at it. So I think one of those, you know, safety cornerback hybrid types that you know, the job is tough. Like Akeem Talib said, you got Travis Kelce on the schedule. You got Waller on the schedule. They have a tough tight end schedule. I think that's going to be a key piece to replace Patrick Chung. So maybe it takes a few weeks to sort that out. Maybe it's a little trial and error, a little bit of this guy and that guy, and someone emerges out of there.
And finally, who ends up as their kicker if they score any points or get in field goal range?
It is a funny thing. The rules, it's like Belichick is basically a kid on Christmas this year, because you can bring back as many players from IR as you want. It's only a three-week wait instead of an eight-week. And, you know, you can elevate practice squad players on Sundays every week. You can only do it for a player twice. But these tinkerings are what he lives for, and they just basically he's basically like a 10-year-old kid that they gave $500 and opened the doors to the toy store and just said, have at it. So I wouldn't be surprised to see both kickers in the first few weeks as they I'm sure it will be folk to start. And then, you know, if Rohrwasser is healthy, he'll get a crack at it. They'll just figure it out. And it's going to be a very busy season for those of us who have to write up all of the transactions that take place on a weekly basis. And that's starting right off the bat with the kicker. It's perfect. It's you know, Belichick has been around for a long time. He's never had this kind of freedom. So I anticipate a lot of roster movement, to say the least.
Right. Over under, if they're able to get through 16 games, over under 9 wins.
I have them at 9-7 for what it's worth. They have a very tough schedule. There's tough games. I think both games against the Bills are hard. I think one of the Dolphins games gets dropped. They should beat the Jets twice. You know, they go to Seattle. They go to Kansas City. They go to Houston, though that they didn't look very good in the opener. So we'll see what comes of that. But it's a difficult schedule, which is why I think the losses will stack up a little bit more than we're used to. But I think I do think the Cam, if they were going into this with Stidham, I'd say under without a doubt. I think Cam is good for another win or two in that, so I'm going to take the over. But I think, generally speaking, week to week, we will be as in the dark as to what to expect since the Matt Castle season in 2008, which is fun and exciting, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm with you on that, absolutely. Michael Hurley, CBS Boston. We thank you as always, Michael. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll check in again soon.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you.